Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In our series of programs entitled, God is Love, We Must Be Love, I've been showing you the specifics of how God demonstrated His love for you and me by giving us His only Son, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, as He died on the cross for the remission of our sins. And in our last program, what we talked about was after Jesus died, as He was hanging on the cross, the veil of the temple was ripped in two, and that signified that the barrier between us and God was now ripped apart so that we could have access to God to become one with God in unity with God. So I want to continue on that theme today about the temple, the veil of the temple being ripped in two, but this time I want to concentrate on how that represents the barrier between human beings being ripped apart so that now human beings can be brought together in love to dwell together in unity. So let's read Mark chapter 15 and verses 38 through 39, because this is where we have the example of the veil of the temple being torn in two. This is Mark chapter 15 and verses 38 through 39. And the subtitle for our previous program was, Now I See You, God. For a subtitle to this program, it is, Now I See You, Man. So first we could see God, and because we have union with God, now we can have union with man. So again, in Mark chapter 15, verses 38 through 39, it says, Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And again, in the last program, I showed that by virtue of the fact that it was torn from top to the bottom, that demonstrated that this was a divine occurrence, not a human, because humans would have torn it from the bottom to the top because that's the part they could reach, because the veil was much higher than what a human could possibly reach. So this was a divine occurrence, and it's supposed to teach us about God's love. And in this case, again, it teaches us that God is love, so we must be love. God is love, and God is in us, so therefore we must be love because God is love. So just as God tore this veil in two to give us access and unity with Him, He tears this veil in two so that we as human beings could have unity with one another. And now let's go over to Acts chapter 10, and we'll read verses 25 through 45. And of course, very often when I say that we're going to read a passage of Scripture, I'm paraphrasing it. I might not read every verse, and that's the case here. But we're going to go through basically Acts chapter 10, verses 25 through 45. And I hope in your own time that after this program is over, you'll actually study these Scriptures more in depth. So this first part is to teach us that we have to get rid of this deep-seated nationalism and racism and religionism, if that's such a word, but these divisions that are caused between us because one person is of one nation, or one person is of one race, or one person is of this religion. There should be unity. There should be love. So in Acts chapter 10, verses 25 through 45, we have an example of Peter, who was a Jew, coming to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And it says, As Peter was coming in to the house of Cornelius, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up. You don't need to bow down to me, because I'm a man just like you are. We're on the same equal footing. And as Peter talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. So he said to them, You know, now listen to this. This gets to this nationalism here and this racism here. Peter, as a Jew, is saying, You know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or even to come really in contact in some kind of fellowship with a person of another nation. But, this was revolutionary, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, and this is a beautiful statement, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Let me say this to you again. Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God does not divide based on nationalism. He doesn't have a favorite nation. God doesn't have a favorite race. That is pure hogwash. That is not of God. But in every nation, Peter goes on to say, but in every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted by God. And while Peter spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, which of course were the Jews because they were circumcised, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished because they were so steeped in their nationalism and in their religion and in their racism that they could not accept people of another nation. But God just broke down that barrier. And he showed them by sending the Holy Spirit to fall upon Cornelius and his household. And these people were Gentiles. And he goes on to say, this is the end of this. They were astonished because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we should, of course, be rejoicing that God is no respecter of persons, that he is so filled with love that he will give his Holy Spirit to all people, anyone who accepts him and who works righteousness. Now let's read in Revelation chapter 5 and verses 9 through 10. Here it says, and they sung a new song, saying, you are worthy, speaking of Jesus the Christ, and this is referring to his second coming, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to our God by your blood, and you've redeemed us out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, and out of every nation. So that means every kindred, that means every family, every tongue, every different kind of language, every people, every kind of race, every kind of ethnicity, and every nation, no matter where a person lives. God has redeemed people out of all walks of life, and he has made all of us unto our God as kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. So if we are reigning on earth with Jesus Christ during the millennium, the 1,000-year period of time, if we are ruling and reigning with Christ, and all of us are from diverse places, we obviously, since we're going to be teaching the way of peace and the way of love, we obviously ourselves need to have learned the way of peace and the way of love. If God is love, and if God is in us, we must be love. That's why I say that the overall title for this series of programs is God is love, we must be love. Now, we must be loved because we are also family. All of us are truly one family. And we can find that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 through 22. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Here it says, wherefore remember that you, being in times past, were Gentiles by birth, and you were called the uncircumcision by those which are called the circumcision in the flesh. That's referring to the Jews. So here we have Jews and Gentiles. And it says that at one time you, being Gentiles, were without Christ. So Christ is the focal point here, as is always. And you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. You had no hope. You were without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. See, that's how we have peace with one another, through Jesus Christ. He is our peace who has made both one. And he has broken down this middle wall of partition that separated us. He has abolished in his flesh the enmity that was between us, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And he did this so that he could make in himself of two one new man, And that's how he made peace. He reconciled both of us to God in one body by the cross. And that's obviously through his body, through the body of Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And so he destroyed the enmity that was between us. So now we all get to God through Jesus Christ. And since we are all one in God, we are obviously all one with one another. That's how it is supposed to be. And it says, for through Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, because that's true, you are no more strangers. You are no more foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. See what I'm saying? We are all one family. We are all of the household of God. And now in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 through 29, we see a similar sentiment. This is Galatians 3 verses 26 through 29. For you are all the children of God. We're all one family. We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither now any more a division between Jew and Greek. There is neither a division between bond and free, nor is there a division between male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's how we have our unity. And please, can't we just get along? If we truly are of one family, if God is no respecter of persons and has called people from all walks of life into his family, then can't we just get along? Again, if we're supposed to be teaching people the way of peace and the way of love, we have to first live the way of peace and the way of love. God is love, we must be love. Let's please now turn over to Colossians, the third chapter, and verses 4 through 15 is what we'll read, because here we're going to see how we can grow in love. This is in, again, Colossians chapter 3 and verses 4 through 15. This is going to teach us how we can grow in love and get along. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So first you have to kill the members of your body which are upon the earth that are contrary to God. These things are such things as fornication, inordinate affection, covetousness, and idolatry. And then you have to put away anger and wrath and malice. And in another program, we'll go through these in detail. You have to put away filthy communication and lying. All of these things you have to put away. And what you have to put on is a new person that's renewed in the knowledge of God. These type of things that we have to put on are mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, being long-suffering, putting up with one another for long periods of time. We have to forgive one another, and we have to remember that we forgive one another just as Jesus Christ forgave us. Now, above all of these things, we have to put on love. It's through this love that we can have this bond of unity that brings us into perfect oneness with one another and with God. And because we have this love and this bond of unity, therefore the peace of God will rule in our hearts. And that's what we've been called to, the peace of God. So this is how we can be love as God is love. And I thank you very much for joining me in this program. I hope you'll come back on the next program, and may God be in you.